This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on Thunder at the Fair, he is the A-B-S-O-L-U-T-E, absolute best. He is Andy Herman from Pack-A-Day Radio, Pack-A-Day Podcast, Pack-A-Day Everything. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, Mitch? Are we going to continue the conversation of you being old, and are we going to talk some SummerSlam? That's what I want to know.
Both of those are up to you. We did get a text in the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line. Time to listen to another station, Talking WWE or whatever that hogwash is called. See ya. And I did write back that I'm done now, as I explained just one segment, but I'll take it more than one segment. I mean, I don't know if, let's see, is that TNP Walkie, I think it is, at the 608? I don't know if he knows this or not, but, like, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that people actually really like. And so while I know some people don't like professional wrestling, they sell out every arena they're in. Their ratings are through the roof. Like, to talk about it for one segment, I think we'll be okay. Like, I think we can I think we can continue to live our lives, right? But I don't want to start with wrestling. I want to start with Family Night, because it's the Brewers' world. But within the Brewers' world, actually, that's not true. It's the Brewers' universe. And within the Brewers' universe, it's Omar Brown's world. What a moment for this kid. And, like, even if he ends up not playing for the Packers or getting put on the practice squad and somebody else claims him and he ends up having a Kevin Case for Horn career for the Cincinnati Bengals or whatever ends up happening, like, good for this kid, right?
It's the best moments. And, like, I get, you know, when it comes to playoff football or when it's down the road and you're playing the Detroit Lions in Detroit, you know, are we going to be remembering Omar Brown's three interception day? Is it going to help them, you know, win games come September through February, hopefully? Who knows? Probably not, right? But these are still really, the really cool moments. It's why you have Family Night, obviously, for the practice, for players to get better, but for the atmosphere, the crowd, 50-plus thousand people watching
almost
the practice.
Almost 60,000, right?
Almost 60,000, yeah.
Crazy.
And then you obviously get people that are getting to go to Lambeau for the first time. But it's also these moments for some of these players who are going to be journeymen, practice squad guys, may not even dress for an NFL game in their entire career, but get to go out there at Lambeau Field. And for Omar Brown, who I really like, by the way, he was a 2024 draft pick. He was somebody that the Packers had in for a top 30 visit, did a lot of research on him ahead of time because they end up with a lot of these top 30 visits becoming Green Bay Packers at some point. Nice. Signed with the Denver Broncos as an undrafted free agent. But I really liked his tape. I thought he was a draftable player when I watched him. And then they eventually got him after the Broncos released him. They picked him up on the practice squad. And the rest is history. So the Packers safety room is incredibly deep. That definitely does not do Omar Brown any favors. But now he had a heck of a night, three interceptions, including a very acrobatic one with his third and final one.
Andy Herman joining us on Thunder at the Fair. And so that, like, I talked about that during the first hour of the program. It's like I'm torn in a way because there's 90 guys on the roster and 53 guys make it. And then it's 45. And so 37 of these guys, with all due respect, like, we really – like, this is what you do for a living. I don't really care. Like, I know I'm on sports radio, but, like, it's hard enough for me to know 53 guys or to know 45 guys. But to get to know 90 guys, 37 of which aren't even going to end up on the team, like, and so I'm like, torn, like, about this good story. And Omar's not the only one. There are other young guys who had good nights Saturday night and deserve their name to be shared. But it's also, like, how much effort and time do I have to learn guys who aren't going to be the guys I'm cheering for on Sunday? Like, I want the Pack. I want Jordan Love to be the story. I don't want Omar Brown to be the story because I know we need Jordan Love to be who we want him to be in order for the Packers to achieve their highest capabilities this season.
Yeah, I think you're totally right, first of all. And I think you're in the 99th percentile of what people ultimately care about and would have loved if it was Matthew Golden, Jordan Love, or a variety of other players that we were maybe talking about. I do think things have changed a little bit with the recent rule changes, really since COVID, where, you know, you have 17 guys in the practice squad, including your international guy. Of the 91 guys on the roster right now, like 70 of them are darn near close to it, are going to be on the team in some capacity. And now you have the practice squad call-ups as well. So it's not just the 53 that can actually play on Sunday. You can actually call guys up from that. So I do think it is a little bit different, where before it was like, all right, the 53 is what matters and the practice squad's this kind of fun, you know, side gig or whatever, but it doesn't really mean much. I do feel like it means a whole heck of a lot more now. And again, you end up with a lot of these guys actually on the Packers roster in some capacity. So I do think that changes a little bit of it. And then I think the other thing too is, you know, you don't want to or care to know Omar Brown until all of a sudden it's week 11 and you've got five safeties on IR and Omar Brown is out there patrolling the backfield, right? And then you want to, you know, kind of know a little bit about him. So this is why we tune into the Pack-A-Day radio show.
That's
you
right.
know, from 8 to 9, so we can give
Monday
you
through
all
Friday,
the Omar
baby.
Brown information that you're absolutely going to need on a day-to-day basis.
No, you're absolutely right. Andy, so Omar Brown is obviously the name that jumped out that got all the headlines. Who else? Like, were there a couple other players that you'd like us to know about or introduce us to or reinforce that this is somebody that we should keep an eye on who might have performed a little bit Saturday night?
Let's talk about a defensive back that is going to matter quite a bit on Sundays, who came up with another big interception at practice and who's had legitimately a phenomenal camp so far, and that has been Carrington Valentine. Yes, now Omar Brown does have 5 interceptions, but Carrington Valentine is right on his heels with 4 interceptions. Had the interception in the 2-minute drill on Jordan Love. All the other interceptions were off of Malik Willis or Taylor Algersma. But Carrington Valentine had the one that was actually on Jordan Love and in a key 2-minute period. He has been, I'm not going to say shut down or whatever, but he has been so difficult to complete any pass against, and he's come up with those 4 interceptions, has almost had about 2 to 3 more on top of that as well, which is ultimately massively impressive in and of itself. He is really stepping into himself, and here's the thing with Valentine. He is somebody that has great instincts. He knows how to play the game. Yes, we saw him get dribbled on the ground by Dallas Goedert in the playoff game. I think he's put on a little bit of strength. I don't think, you know, he wants to see that situation come to fruition again. But he's now trusting all those incredible instincts that he has as well. He's a playmaker, and I think you're really going to see him start to take that to the next level because he's trusting those instincts a whole heck of a lot more.
Okay, so what does that mean for Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, and then Carrington Valentine? Like, what opportunities does that open up for the Packers if Valentine really proves that he can do this at the highest level?
Yeah, so a couple things. To me, there's going to be 2 nickel defenses, and this can change at any given point, but there's going to be a base early down nickel where I think you're going to see Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs on the outside with Javon Bullard in the slot and then Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety. And you're going to see that against 12 personnel, 2 tight end sets. And again, if it's a 1st and 10 and there's a lot of run options, or it's a 2nd and shorter, there's a lot of run options, but you still want to be a nickel, Javon Bullard in the slot's probably the way to go. However, when you get to more obvious passing downs, it's a 3rd and 8, you know they're passing. And I think what we're going to see in those situations is Nate Hobbs in the slot instead of Bullard, then Valentine and Nixon on the outside with, again, Williams and McKinney at safety. And you're going to see them put a little bit more coverage ability on the field in those situations. So I think you're going to see 2 different nickel formations. And of course, if there's any injury to Keyshawn Nixon or Nate Hobbs or Javon Bullard throughout the course of the season, Carrington Valentine's going to be that next guy up in that situation as well. So he's going to play a lot. And again, I think he's ready for it.
Anything else from family night before we turn our attention to this week?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Brandon McManus, 8 of 8. Yes, there was allegedly a missed field goal. There was a missed field goal in the warm-up period, so it doesn't necessarily count towards the unofficially official stats. But once practice started, he was 8 of 8. He did have a little bit of a miss in the walkthrough period of that.
He's ridiculous.
He's incredible. It's really remarkable. You know, what could possibly go wrong now that we put him up on this pedestal that he's never going to miss kicks? But no, he's absolutely been fantastic. And then, I'll point out a couple of one more good one, one more bad one. Warren Brinson, and I'll just point out Stackhouse as well. The two defensive tackles from Georgia have had a great start to camp. They look like they're going to potentially be able to contribute this upcoming season. Probably rotational spots, right? Nothing, of major significance, but it's not a super deep defensive tackle room. So Brinson and Stackhouse looking the part so far is not nothing. And then on the flip side, I do think it was a rough week for Malik Willis. He had a practice, I think it was earlier this past week, where he had either 3 or 4 interception day, and then he had a 3 interception day at family night as well. Just looks like he's maybe trying to do a bit too much, trying to force some things. One of the things that he was great at was taking care of the football when he was in there as a backup. That's different with the twos, and he's trying to explore this Matt LaFleur system a little bit more, but just want to see him take a little bit better care of the football.
That was going to be my follow-up to that. Andy Herman joining us here on Thunder at the Fair, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan, hear him every Monday through Friday, 8 to 9, Pack-A-Day Radio. Do you think part of that is, like, he knows he's the number two, and so he's feeling himself a little bit, but, like, in a way that, like, oh, he's going to take a few extra risks, just see what he can get away with, but if he were to actually be called into action in a real NFL game, he will go back to being the Malik Willis we know and love from last year?
Completely. I would have no concern if, you clearly want Jordan out there in any given game. But if Malik Willis was all of a sudden starting a game, I have no issue where he's just all of a sudden going to go back and drop the pass and just be gunslinging it all over the place. I guarantee you he'd be taking great care of the football, just like we saw him do a season ago. And I still think Green Bay is very lucky to have him as their number two quarterback.
Nice. Today is Monday, August 4th, right?
Andy. It is Monday, August 4th, 12:56 p.m. in the Central Time.
Yes, that is you are looking live at Wisconsin State Fair. Andy, what's happening in 5 days? What is happening in 5 days at Lambeau? 5 days away? Are you kidding me? We are 5 days. I know it's preseason. I know nobody's going to play, but it's still a football game at Lambeau in 5 days. Are you kidding me?
It's remarkable. Everything just flies by so insanely fast. You know, as soon as you get to kind of those OTAs and mini camps, and then all of a sudden it's training camp, and then it's family night, and then it's preseason, and before you know it, it's going to be the NFL draft, and we're going to be talking about prospects again. That's just how this stuff goes. But no, it's crazy that they've got a game, New York Jets, Packers, Jets at Lambeau Field on Saturday night. I think it's a night game, right? 7 p.m. If I remember correctly.
Yep, that is correct.
And, yeah. All those roster battles, even just seeing guys like Malik Willis being able to play a little bit more, hoping to see, some of the guys like Chris Brooks. I doubt Emmanuel Wilson's going to be back, but, overall, I think this is a fun roster. I made the bold prediction, Mitch, you'll like this one, that they will go undefeated in preseason, 3-0 in preseason this year. So,
and what is the history? What is the history of teams that have gone 3-0 translating to Super Bowl victories, Andy Herman?
I have no idea. I knew the 0-16 Detroit Lions team was undefeated in the preseason, that probably doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot.
I agree with you. Does Jordan Love take a snap Saturday night?
I'm going to say no, but I do think there's like a 50-50 coin flip of him maybe getting like a drive, probably a couple handoffs and a slant or something like that, just to start getting – like the thing I always look at is I kind of want him to play in the earlier preseason games because, let's say, again, there is an injury for any of the starters. It just gives you that extra week kind of recover from it.
Something minor.
Exactly, right? So I would almost lean a little bit more if I were the coach of playing guys in that first one. But the second one is usually what they do. And so I'm going to say like 70% no, maybe 30% yes, but I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah. Do you think there's a better chance because they are at home and so they want them to get out in front of the home crowd for a series, as opposed to playing the next week in Indy, for example?
they could look at it that way. They could also look at it where this is the one week where they don't have a joint practice. So the next two weeks, they do have joint practices. So they could view as Jordan getting his time at the joint practices when he's wearing that red jersey in the following 2 weeks. And again, maybe give him that preseason action this week when there's not a joint practice and not the Jets coming to town for practices. So we'll see. I'm sure Matt will tell us, probably not the full game plan, but if Jordan might play or not coming up this week.
Absolutely. All right. Andy, we're about at the end of the hour. Thank you so much for jumping on. Both nights of SummerSlam ended with surprises. Were you surprised by both? I have to assume you were surprised by Lesnar showing up last night because I don't think anybody saw that coming. What were your impressions of SummerSlam?
Yeah, so just really quick, for the most part, enjoyed the show. I watched more of day two than day one. I was actually more surprised by the Seth Rollins sort of cash-in at the end, and Punk winning the cash-in. The weird thing is, so I don't follow like the dirt sheets anymore to know what's happening. And as soon as Cena lost, and you sort of saw, I'm like, they're panning for some like his next
for
you know,
something.
Rival, right?
Yes,
they're gonna set something up here. And like I went through the Rolodex in my head of like what would be SummerSlam worthy. And the first name that came to my head was Brock Lesnar. And I get the legal stuff and things like that, but I'm like, I bet this is somebody like a Brock Lesnar. Not really knowing which who it would be, but it was Brock Lesnar. So it stunned me a little bit less, but was a little bit more surprised by the Saturday ending.
I think I was waiting, and I know you mentioned the legal stuff, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. I think I was waiting for Lesnar to show up at some point during the whole Reigns-Heyman breakup that Lesnar would get involved somehow there, and obviously did not. I think overall they put on good shows, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
I like that Rich Eisen had a TikTok video today talking about, like, listen, we bought in. Like, Rollins showed, because Rollins hosted the Rich Eisen show a couple days when Rich Eisen was golfing in Vegas. And he's like, dude, he showed up on crutches. Like, we all thought it was real. Like what a great actor. I mean, what great storytelling, what great writing, what a great actor. And that's what we're here for. We're here for the entertainment value, right?
It works. If you can work us in mainstream media, the by all means do it. And good job, WWE, for pulling that off.
Absolutely. Andy, tomorrow morning, 8 to 9, what do you got?
Tomorrow we got Steve Perhatch, Pack-A-Day Podcast. We'll be breaking down kind of a little bit more of who stood out, who has not stood out at Packers practice so far. And then, of course, looking forward to, what is it, day 10 of training camp, I think, tomorrow? Whatever number it is, we'll look forward to that as well.
Yep, they get back to work. They are off today, right? No media availability, no nothing today, but
nothing today.
Back at it. Yep, back at it tomorrow and every day through basically Friday. Friday, of course. They get ready for the game on Saturday. So here we go. It's game week. It is game week, Andy Herman. Let's get that, the eye black under the eyes. Let's get, yep, exactly. All right. Thank you so much for jumping on, Andy. You're the absolute best.
You're the absolute best, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.